We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us on a second visit to the city of Coventry, known as the Barcelona of the Midlands, but without the architecture and sunshine, the beaches or the cuisine, the feel-good vibe or decent football team. Anyway, probably the most famous name associated with Coventry is Lady Godiva, who in the year 1043 was challenged by her husband, the Earl of Mercia, to ride naked through the city streets in protest against taxation of the poor. Lady Godiva is today immortalised in monetary rhyming slang. Lady Godiva is now a fiver, but in 1043 the slang they used on the day was threepenny bits. Still, that's inflation for you. Lady Godiva's naked form is depicted at Wenlock Abbey in a stained glass window, if the monks forget to wipe it down after. In November 1940, at the height of the Blitz, German bombers destroyed the centre of Coventry, including the cathedral. By 1962, a new cathedral had been built and the area largely restored. In March 1941, the bombers reduced Willenhall to dust and rubble, and by 1976, no one had noticed. But the Luftwaffe weren't the last unwelcome visitors to bomb here. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Miles Jupp and Rachel Paris. And on my right, Timber Taylor and Harry Hill. And taking her place on the scoring board next to me, please welcome the delightful Samantha. We start this week with some new additions to the Uxbridge English Dictionary. Good dictionary is essential for learning the correct use of similar words. For example, many people don't understand the subtle difference between the words gloss and eggshell. Well, gloss describes a type of paint which dries to a shiny finish, whereas eggshell is Sean Connery's favourite Microsoft spreadsheet. The meanings of words are constantly changing, teams, so your suggestions, please, of any new definitions you may have spotted recently. Miles, you can start.
Equine, booze for horses.
Tim?
Academy, school for complete bastards.
Rachel?
Indicate, the Duchess of Cambridge's 90s grunge phase.
Harry?
Ayatollah. To flirt with a bell ringer. Obviously, I don't mean anything by that.
No.
I don't want any trouble.
Chateaubriand, French for I went to the loo at Brian's house.
Surcharge, the £5 million Philip Green needs to cough up to keep his knighthood.
Frisbee, insect with an afro.
Maintain a posh hill.
Sophocles, very tall comedian lying on a settee.
Dogger Bank. A place you can go after hours to make a deposit.
Torpedo, Glastonbury-based nonce.
Panache, the dying embers of a play on words.
Funny you should say that. OK, the teams are going to sing along to some well-known songs in the round called Pick-Up Song. Samantha will spin the discs. Each of you will sing along teams until Samantha turns the music down. If on its return you're within a gnat's crotchet of the original, I'll be awarding points. And points mean a frankly sickening indictment of me-centric contemporary Britain. What do points mean?
Prizes!
Yes, and this week's prize is the perfect afternoon treat for the politically correct. It's LGBT for two at the Ritz. So, Tim, you're to start, and I'd like you to accompany Meatloaf singing I Would Do Anything for Love.
And I would do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and back. I would do anything for love. I'll never lie to you, and that's a fact. But I'll never forget the way you feel right now. Oh, no. No way. But I would do anything for love. Oh, I would do anything for love. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. No, I won't do that.
No, I won't do that.
Unlucky, Tim, and it started so promisingly.
Okay, that's true.
Your next, Miles, I'd like you to accompany the Divine Comedy singing National Express.
Take the National Express when your life's in a mess. It'll make you smile. All human life is here, from the feeble old dear to the screaming child. To the family man, manhandling the pram with paternal pride. And everybody sings.
Uh-huh.
All right, we go. National Express.
Thank you. Well done, Miles Jupp. How you do that two voices thing at once? Just brilliant, actually. Well done. You now, Harry Hill, I'd like you to accompany Jerry Rafferty singing Baker Street.
Is it all... is it all right if I stand? It's just that I've got...
I thought you were standing, sorry.
I've got a loose rib and it vibrates.
Winding your way down on Baker Street, light in your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day. You'll drink the night away and forget about everything. Hoo-ha! The city desert makes you feel so cold. It got so many people, but it's got no soul. And it's taken you so long to find out you were wrong when you thought it held everything. And you used to think that it was so easy. You used to say that it was so easy, but you're trying now.
Surprise you at home, or you didn't see that actually Harry was playing the trombone himself. Not many people can do that. So finally, would you, Rachel, please accompany Celine Dion singing It's All Coming Back to Me Now?
Yes.
When you touch me like this, when you hold me like that, I just have to admit that it's all coming back to me. When I touch you like this, and when I hold you like that, it's so hard to believe, but it's all coming back to me. It's all coming back, it's all coming back to me now. There were moments of gold and there were flashes of light. There were things I'd never do again, but then they'd always seem right. There were nights of endless pleasure, it was more than any love. Kiss you like this, and if you whisper like that, it was lost long ago, but it's all coming back to me. Coming back to me now.
Well, you haven't been doing the show long, so I'll make allowances with you. The teams are going to do a spot of acting for us now in the round called Sound Charades. This is a variation on the old TV classic, Give Us a Clue, a show that featured Mime Master General Lionel Blair. Sprightly 90-year-old Lionel still has the travel bug and recently enjoyed a Pacific cruise with his partner. As part of the itinerary, Lionel visited the Galapagos Islands, where he met George the Giant Tortoise. The trip wasn't without incident, as on departure, a confused nature warden wouldn't let Lionel leave the island. On the plus side, his wife and the tortoise did enjoy the cruise back to Southampton. Tim and Harry, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen for the listeners at home. Here's the mystery voice.
Inglorious Bastards. Inglorious Bastards.
Off you go, please, Tim and Harry.
It's a film, and it's two words, and it goes like this. Oh, hello, Sean.
A cup of the man into your paddy.
Is that too much? Sorry, mate. If I dial it back a bit.
Where in God's name are you off to dress like that?
Oh, well. Well, now, you remember the Irish presenter lady?
The Honeyford woman?
Yes.
What's she done now?
Well, she's only after putting together a boy band. And I've got an audition.
Oh, well, I might join then.
Oh, no, no, no.
No,
oh,
no, no.
She's only accepting boys like myself, who were born out of wedlock now.
So, if you pass the audition, you could end up...
Yes. In... Yes.
Well...
Wow. Gosh, very reminiscent of Ken Loach's The Wind That Shakes the Barley.
We got the Hunniford reference.
So that, but you didn't say Gloria.
Gloria. Gloria. So we think it's Inglorious Bastards.
Well thought, very good. So your turn now, Miles and Rachel, and your title is now being exhibited on the laser display board. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Loose Women. Loose Women.
It's a television show.
Oh, yes.
And
oh,
it's two words.
Two.
You're soaking wet.
I been swimming.
And where have you been swimming?
I been swimming down the toilet.
Did it feature Janet Street Porter? By any chance?
I think it does, and I think you know what it is, don't you?
Is it Loose Women?
Loose Women. Well, this next game is called Not My Fault and is all about disasters in the workplace. Of course, disasters can just as easily happen at home. Only recently I was in the kitchen trying to follow Jamie Oliver's instructions for the correct way to prepare his pucker pineapple pudding when I was told, hold sharp cleaver in one hand, grab pineapple crown and whack off. I did, and very nearly fell off the worktop. In this round, one team are the organisers of certain attractions, and the other team are dissatisfied customers. Okay, so you can be the dissatisfied customers, please, Miles and Rachel, and you've just travelled on Tim and Harry's space shuttle, and you should outline your complaints, and it's Tim and Harry's job to improvise their excuses. Off you go.
Well, I just want to start off by saying we did have a nice time.
We did have a nice time.
Excellent. So what's the problem?
What's the problem, yeah.
Well, there was a number of things that we noticed, I suppose, that we, in retrospect, we're a little frustrated and bemused by.
Did you experience any G-force?
Very little, I think, in fairness to ourselves. I mean, it was quite, I'm not saying it was uncomfortable.
No, there were bumps, but it felt more like going over speed bumps, if anything.
I have to say, and I'm not deliberately going out of my way to look for criticisms here, but one of the things I was most looking forward to about going to space, I think we both were, we talked about it for several months while saving up the $250,000 necessary to pay. I was looking forward to the view.
Yeah. I was looking forward to the view, yeah, and you did ask us to pull across little red curtains across the windows, so that was a disappointment.
At the beginning, did you see the very bright object in the sky?
Well, we did see. We saw something. It was certainly orange.
Like a large orange moon.
That's right, although it was on top of a sort of black and white
and
stick.
It was flashing.
And what was curious, of course, because there was another one on the other side.
But they were all probably orbiting each other.
Right.
That's the explanation for this phenomenon, is it?
Yeah.
I've always been quite obsessed with the idea of experiencing weightlessness. And that, I think, in fairness, once we removed the seat belts, nothing seemed to happen.
No.
Well, to be honest, you are quite heavy.
Right. Am I so heavy that the removal of gravity would have no impact on me? Are you sure you understand how gravity works?
I think maybe what you were experiencing was the next stage from weightlessness, which is weightfulness.
One elderly gentleman who, incidentally, I had to give up my seat for, had to get out for a space walk. At one point, and I was a bit concerned about the lack of attention to his health and safety because he had no cord attached to him. And when he came back, he was quite out of breath and carrying some groceries.
I mean, there's probably a perfectly rational explanation for it, but what is it we wanted?
Yeah. I'll let my partner answer that. Well,
His daughter was very keen for him to go, and ideally not come back.
The driver, sorry, pilot.
Pilot, yeah.
Did say that we would need to ding the bell in order to stop. Yeah.
And by this point, we were getting quite cross with him because we'd already had to pay him $250,000 in exact change.
They didn't even have contactless.
Let's try that the other way around. This time you can be the dissatisfied customers, Tim and Harry, and you have just visited Miles and Rachel's TV theme park, and you're not happy about it, so you can start complaining now, please.
We're not happy is an understatement, isn't it?
We're not. Mm. And I think you had an issue with the Love Island...
I did. That, the Love Island log flume, yes. you get two things to take home as a permanent reminder of the trip. You get a photo and chlamydia.
I suppose the thing is, if that is a venereal disease you've already got, then we're happy to get you an additional one as well.
Mm. And I will say chlamydia is one of the...
It's one of our most popular.
It's one of our most popular venereal diseases, and it is authentic to the show.
I had an issue with the strictly themed Tunnel of Love.
Yeah, that was...
I went in with my wife... and came out with Anton de Beck.
Are you honestly telling me that this wasn't what you were expecting?
To be honest, it wasn't what we were expecting. No,
not by any stretch.
Who were you expecting to end up with?
Sean Walsh. As advertised. What possessed you to have an Ant McPartlin-themed Dodgems?
You must have enjoyed some of it, though. Did you like the Holmes Under the Hammer Carousel?
We did quite enjoy the Eamon Holmes Bouncy Castle.
No, that was Eamon Holmes. And you have to take your shoes off when you climb on top of him. I don't know if you knew that.
That was his only rule.
Good job he's not sensitive about his weight, isn't it?
Oh, well, that means it's the end. Well done. This next round is all about reviews. In this round, I shall present the teams with a selection of genuine internet reviews, and their job is to correctly identify to what the review is referring. So, Tim, what's this a review for? If you find yourself at a point in life where you don't have to impress anyone, I highly recommend these.
Degrees in media studies.
It's actually a review of Crocs, unisex adults, classic clogs from Amazon. How about this one, Rachel? Great when I was a child, but now revolting.
Is it uncles?
It's actually a review of Ribena from Ocado. Miles, very male-dominated and pays scant attention to female pleasure.
Is it Radio 4?
It's actually The Joy of Sex by Alex Comfort. Harry, what's being reviewed here? At least it saves you from having to go to Birmingham.
Death. Review of death. That's very mean.
The answer was IKEA in Coventry.
Ah, yes.
From TripAdvisor. Tim, what's being reviewed here? My husband loves it, and you can get spare heads.
An Anne Boleyn Barbie doll.
It's for a Remington shaver. And what about this one, Rachel? Ideal size as my husband was a big man.
A landmine.
It was a review of a cremation urn. From Amazon. Okay. Miles, what about this one? More graphic than I expected.
A book of graphs.
It's The Joy of Sex again. And finally, Harry, it's become such an annoyance that I've switched it off.
My nan's life support machine. We couldn't have toast in the morning and nan.
No, it was, again, from Amazon. It was Alexa Smart Speaker. Well, it is very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in a quick round of car or bedroom. And in it, I'd like you teams to come up with examples of phrases that might be suitable to use in either the car or the bedroom. Miles, you could start.
Please slow down. You're making me nervous.
Tim.
Oh, my God, you've got a puncture.
Harry.
Darling, should I take the first or second exit?
Rachel.
Sorry, it's a mess. The kids have absolutely ruined it.
I really love it when you wear your driving gloves.
You should really be keeping two chevrons between us and the couple in front.
Did you call your mother to say we're coming?
Hello, officer.
Oh, just wake me up when we get there.
Oh, dear, I've got a flat. I think I'm going to need a pull.
Unbelievable. Not even a thank you.
I think I've left skid marks.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the tetchy taxi driver of time refuses the Scottish fiver of fate, and the pissed-off passenger of posterity is abandoned by the ring road of regret, I notice it's the end of the show. So, from the team, Samantha, myself and our audience here in Coventry, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Finbrook Taylor, Miles Jupp, Rachel Paris and Harry Hill were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Ian Pattinson and Fraser Steele, and the producer was John Naismith.